This is David Williams from the Health Business Blog. I'm speaking today with Dr. Reed Tuckson. He is Senior Medical Advisor to United Health Foundation. Dr. Tuckson, thanks for joining me.
Thank you very much, and it's a pleasure to be on the show.
Well, we're going to be talking about America's Health Rankings Senior Report today. So let me start off by asking you, what's the purpose of this report?
The America's Health Foundation Senior Report is a labor of first love by United Health Foundation for caring about the overall healthiness, not only of our nation as a whole, but in this case specifically around seniors. We are trying to educate America about the health status of seniors, identifying at a national, but more importantly, perhaps at a state level, what the big issues are that are confronting the overall healthiness of our seniors and what limits them from being able to live out fully, maximally, the dimensions of their lives as they age. And then ultimately to stimulate individuals, elected officials, health professionals, employers, communities, and families really to get involved and to attack those issues that are important, whether it's at, again, a national or at a state level. So it's really all about identifying priority problems confronting the healthiness of seniors and then mobilizing the resources to be able to address them.
It's helpful, as you described, to look at this on a state-by-state basis. Anything particularly that we should learn from those high-ranking states and those that are low-ranking?
Well, first of all, the one thing that we have been enjoying as we have been doing these reports on the overall healthiness of the nation is that every state has its share of challenges. And every state has its share of lessons to learn. So even those that are not doing as well as others, still within them will have lessons to be taught. That being said, one of the things that, as I look at the states that are moving up in key areas, for example, New York. New York State has moved from 32nd to 21st. They did it because smoking decreased by 20%, and they increased their flu vaccination rate by 13%. They've also got a lot more home health care workers, and so they're making a difference. Rhode Island moved up considerably, and the reason they did because they've been able to address the number of seniors that are living in poverty, decreasing that number. Smoking has decreased, and they also have decreased the need for the use of intensive care units by some 21%. You'll notice as I make these comments, and your audience will appreciate, that the things that we look at are fairly comprehensive in their nature. So that we look at healthiness as a combination of behavioral issues, mental health issues, access to health care issues, support by communities and environments. So my point being that what we are really starting to see here are a combination of things that go into healthiness, and the things that make us overall a healthier nation are going to be things that will say that a state that does well in a variety of areas, and that's probably why they do well.
Now, I see that the report includes a call to action from Dr. Jewel Mullen that's based on a kind of comprehensive national prevention strategy. Can you say a little bit more about who Dr. Mullen is and more about this national strategy?
Yes, we were very excited that Dr. Jewel Mullen, who is currently the president of the Association of State and Territorial Health Officers, which is a fancy way of saying the commissioners of health for all of our nation states. She's the president of that organization that includes all of these state health officers. She is the state health officer for Connecticut. And we were really excited that someone of her stature joined in, because her strategy really makes sense to build better partnerships between federal, state, and private organizations to do five key things. And briefly, they are identify information and tools that will drive action. She's trying to align policy and advocacy initiatives. She's trying to find ways of expanding and strengthening programs that work. She's trying to create age-friendly communities. And finally, she's trying to get secure financial resources to address the fundamental determinants of health. So we are pretty excited that we've got a good leader in the state of Connecticut, and somebody who is now able to influence and learn from her colleagues who are running the health departments in all of our states.
Now, one of the topics that the report mentions is Alzheimer's and dementia, but I want to ask you a little bit more about that, because I suppose as I look to the future, it's an area of concern. It seems like there's rising prevalence, there's no real cure, and not a lot of effective treatments. What are we finding when you look up to Alzheimer's, and what are ways that we could be dealing with it absent a cure?
Well, one of the challenges, and it lies in the premise of your question, is it's been difficult to track Alzheimer's disease separately as a measure for our efforts, because the diagnosis is so complex. Separating out Alzheimer's as a specific dementia from some of the other dementia conditions has been very difficult. So that has been kind of tough. That being said, I think that we are, in this report, calling for action, as you indicate. And that action very much involves the development of community-based resources to help to offset the care challenges that individuals have. So one of the things that we really need to be able to do in this country as we prepare for the onslaught of very serious numbers of people with Alzheimer's is to have a community-based infrastructure. Our churches, civic associations, fraternities, sororities, our informal neighborhood coalitions. We're going to all have to be in this together to identify people who are at risk and help them to be able to live their lives more comfortably. We're certainly going to need to increase in this country our efforts for trying to provide a cure and effective medications. That work, as you know, is well underway. But ultimately, what I think your question really brings out is the importance of trying to do everything we can to prevent. And that means staying as healthy as we can for as long as we can. We all know that there is a relationship between not only the disease, but the manifestations of the disease for people who are not as healthy as they possibly can be. So we've got to exercise. We've got to eat properly. We've got to maintain our bodies and our minds as well as we can. And then we need to be keeping our minds as active as possible as we age, being involved in intellectual pursuits, reading, teaching, mentoring, brain puzzles. We've got so much more to learn about the science of which of these are most effective and how they will be effective. But as we are learning, that should be a stimulus to all of us to be doing everything we can to promote our physical health and our mental health and give us the best chance not only to prevent these kinds of dementias, but to manage those dementias once they occur.
It's pretty clear from our discussion so far that this is meant to be a report that does more than just sit on the shelf. You've got a call to action. You've got various audiences that you're going after and so on. What sort of impact do you think that the report will have? You're trying to set off competition among states. You know, what might we see as this comes out and gets publicized?
Well, two things that come from your very excellent question. Number one, the fact that you are covering this says a lot to us, and it means a lot to us, because we've got to get this kind of information out and put it higher into the nation's public discourse. We really don't have in America a very robust conversation about the challenges to seniors, and the things that can be done to mitigate those challenges. So first and foremost, we've just got to thank you and others for making it possible for people to have access to the report, to the statistics that we have and the data. Secondly, we do believe that the report does stimulate action. We do know that we have a companion report that's called America's Health Rankings, without the senior edition focus. And we've been doing that now for more than 20 years. And this is the third year that we've done the senior report. But we know from that other effort that many governors, state legislature leaders, public health department leaders, community organizers will use our report as a way of diving deeper into their own state's issues and creating that community conversation that identifies priorities, but more importantly, as you said, this is not a report that should be placed on the shelf. It's a report that is designed to mobilize private sector, philanthropic, as well as government resources to go after priority problems. So there's too much at stake. You know, when you really start to think about You know, again, the numbers of people who are going to be seniors, you know, the senior population will double in size by 2050. If we don't have this conversation today, we will be very, very, you know, poorly prepared to handle it if we wait until 2050 to start to deal with the extraordinary numbers of people that will fall in this category.
Dr. Tuckson, this has been very informative. On the other hand, I know there's a broader array of things in the report than what we've had a chance to touch on today. Is there anything else that you'd like to pull out to make sure that people have a look at?
Well, two things. And one is the good news story. The good news story is that we are really excited that that seniors are increasingly getting the right care that they want in a setting of choice for them. We're seeing preventable hospitalizations declining by almost 9%. Which is very important. People that aren't in the hospital that don't need to be and shouldn't have been. We're seeing an increase in hospice care use it rose from 47.5% to 50.6%, and that's really important. We're seeing, relatedly, hospital deaths are decreasing. We're seeing home health care workers increasing. So if you can see the pattern, people are not in the hospital as much as possible. They're not dying in hospitals. Rather, their people are getting the care that they want in hospice care, and we're seeing more home health care workers. Where we are not very happy, and this is really alarming, is that physical inactivity, people not getting any physical exercise, is going in the wrong direction this year. And in fact, we now know that as many as one-third of seniors, 33%, did not get any physical activity outside of basically, you know, if they're still working, going to work, or just getting up in the morning. That's really, really frightening. And that, by the way, is a worsening by almost 15%. And so this really is something that has to be addressed. And then also I would mention that we've also discovered that about 15% of all of our seniors are depressed. And that's a 10% increase from last year. So the good news is people are getting care outside of hospitals and in the community and settings in which they are, home settings, which are usually preferred by people. But the bad news is on the prevention side, behaviors, particularly around exercise and activity and depression, are getting worse.
I've been speaking today to Dr. Reed Tuckson. He's Senior Medical Advisor to United Health Foundation. We've been talking about the foundation's brand new America's Health Rankings Senior Report for 2015. Dr. Tuckson, thanks so much for your time today.
Well, thank you very much, and I hope everybody will remember, it's not how long we live, it's how well we live.